Appreciate the privilege to be here, and I do count it a great honor. I'm very humbled to be here tonight, and I mean that from the depths of my heart. That's not just saying that, I mean that. I many times feel like the least of any, but we try to just keep going on for the glory of the Lord, amen, and to be pleasing unto Him, and we're thankful for that. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with us to the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1 this evening, 1 Peter, chapter number 1. We'll start reading in verse number 1 and try to bring out the message that God has burdened my heart about. But the Bible says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in that last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom ye have not seen, ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied that of the grace that should come unto you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Does it stop there? That's a semicolon. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, colon, continues, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, semicolon, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. Amen. Let us bow our heads before God and ask His blessings upon this service this evening. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the privilege it is to bow before you, Lord, once again this evening. Thank you, God, for the privilege it is to be here and to be in your house gathered together such as this. Now, Lord, we thank you, God, that, Lord, you've been so good to us and you've blessed us. And Lord, we recognize, God, now that we're nothing more than the dust of the ground, and, Lord, that thou art everything. And I pray that you'd have your divine way tonight. Pray, God, that you'd arrange the atmosphere of my heart and my soul and my mind, God, to be able to deliver the word of God in such an atmosphere that'd be pleasing, Lord, unto you. And I pray, God, now that you'd touch every heart, God, that's here, Lord, tonight to hear. And I pray that you'd give them ears to hear and hearts to heed what thus saith the Lord. God, prevent wandering thoughts and wandering things, God, from, Lord, entering into our mind, God, that we might be focused upon you tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd move in power. And Lord, show yourself to be God. Lord, we pray, God, for fresh oil and fresh power. God is truly the need of the hour. And I pray, God, and trust you tonight. God, it's not a performance of the flesh. It's not a performance of the man. But God, it is, Lord, what you say and what you do. And we trust you tonight, God, that we'd be nothing more than a vessel to deliver what thus saith the Lord. God, give us that boldness and power, God, that only you can give. Lord, we praise you for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing in reverence to the reading of the King James Authorized Bible. I trust you'll try to pay attention to the preaching tonight. And to me, I feel like the preaching of God's Word is one of the most serious things on the face of planet Earth. Amen. Is the preaching of God's Word. I'm going to look at this passage of Scripture, and we dealt with this Wednesday night at the church and really feel impressed the Lord to deal with it tonight in a little different aspect, a whole different train of thought. But I want to take our texts out of verse number 13 down through verse number 16 in the context of the Scripture this evening. We will read those again for the sake of a hearing. He says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Amen. Well, that's a subject we don't hear much of anymore in our day and hour, is it? And that's the holiness of God. Amen. And seeing people be holy for the namesake of the Lord. Amen. You say, why should I be holy? Because he's holy. And that's the only reason we need to be holy, is because God is holy. I believe an unholy life is resemblance that we serve an unholy God. Amen. Amen. If he's a holy God, we ought to be holy ourselves. But look at this passage of Scripture and just break it down and bring you a few things out of this. But as I begin to think about this, of course, we know that the Apostle Peter here, of course, is the writer, amen, of the book of Peter here. And we find that Peter is one of the Lord's first disciples, amen. And that he was very quick to apprehend, and that he was very bold to execute, amen, whatever was to take place and to be done. Now, as we look at the book of 1 Peter, I want to lay a little bit of groundwork to bring out the thought that God's put in my heart. The first thing is that the keynote of 1 Peter is the preparation for victory and sufferings. Amen. Now, in the book of Peter, you find that the Roman persecution had scattered believers everywhere, and the church in general was in the midst of fiery trials. Amen. And you find that in verses number 5, 6, and 7. You find talks about how we are kept by the power of God. And he talks about it, though for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. It also talks about how that the trying of our faith is much more precious than of gold. Amen. Now, these trials were never to hurt the people of God. Amen. They were always, amen, to help the people of God. But Peter realized that they were struggling in these trials and in these fiery trials. And so Peter was trying to indoctrinate them in their minds, amen, to be able to have the right perspective of how to see things in the midst of the trials, to be able to, amen, to survive the trials of life. Amen. Anybody that's quit on God or did something wrong in the midst of a trial, it's because the devil so affected their mind that they were not thinking clearly, amen, about the things of God and how God would have us to think when it comes to the fiery trials of life. Amen. Now, if you think you're exempt from the trials of life, amen, you got another thing coming. Amen. Because the Bible teaches us that a man that's born of a woman is few days and full of trouble. But as the thing about this, he begins to lay the groundwork. Amen. The devil was seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. He walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. If he was doing it then, he's doing it much more in this day and hour. Amen. Peter wrote this epistle to encourage them in their sufferings. Amen. Now, I'm telling you something. We've lived in a day and hour where that's all people want to hear. Amen. Is everything that encourages them. Amen. They don't want to hear any old-fashioned preaching anymore. Amen. About how sin is and how the devil is and the reality of life. Don't misunderstand me. I'm all for encouraging. We need that. Amen. But we've developed a crowd that is so childish. Amen. They can't get past. Amen. Just encouraging, preaching. Amen. I'm telling you something, all preaching ain't encouraging, amen. Some preaching, amen, goes straight to the bone and straight to the heart, amen. But if you're right with God, that'll encourage you, amen. Amen. I just like preaching. It don't matter. Amen. Amen. It's not hard preaching. I tell it, that offends me when people say, well, you're a hard preacher. I'm not a hard preacher. I am a heart preacher, amen. Amen. Don't ever forget that. Amen. If your pastor preaches, it's not because he's hard. It's because he's got a heart for God. Amen. And he's got a heart for you. But as we see this epistle was to encourage them in their sufferings. Peter has been called the apostle of hope. Amen. Amen. That's what Peter was called. Amen. He was the apostle of hope. He said, I know you're going through it. I know there's sufferings. But he said, they was known as the apostle of hope. Amen. Can I tell you something? I'm just going to be realistic. It's not going to get better. Amen. But we didn't shout much on that, did we? Amen. But I want to tell you something. As long as Jesus lives, there is hope. Amen. 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 Our hope is not in the White House. Amen. Our hope is in God. Amen. 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 That's exactly right. Amen. Do you realize we got as much hope in God? Amen. If Hillary or, amen, that big mouth man gets it. Amen. Amen. We've got as much hope. Amen. Amen. In God, no matter who gets in the White House. Amen. God is still God. Amen. Besides him, there isn't another. Amen. Amen. God is not governed by some wicked ruler. Amen. God is governed by nobody or nothing. Amen. He's a sovereign ruler of the universe. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. He's God, and besides him, there is none other. Amen. Don't let that upset you. Amen. 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 The theme is victory over suffering in fiery trials with sufficient grace. Amen. I've heard people say, well, we need to pray that God's grace will be sufficient, amen. You don't have to pray such a prayer. You don't have to waste your breath, amen. Amen. That's exactly right, amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 12:19 said, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me, amen. God's grace is sufficient for whatever we go through. Now, I'm going somewhere, amen. Amen. The key word in the book of Peter is suffer, amen. Amen. That word is used in the phrase of suffering 15 times in the book of 1 Peter. Amen. It is amazing to me. You know what the number 15 represents? It represents rest, amen. Amen, amen. Amen. You don't believe the Bible's inspired? It is inspired, amen. Peter mentioned it 15 times that they were having suffering, amen. But in that numerical number of 15, it was resembling, amen, that there's still a rest for the people of God, amen. Amen, amen. I'm not fretting and worry about everything, amen. I'm not digging holes in my backyard hiding stuff, amen. I'm not hoarding up gasoline, amen. I'm telling you something, we've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor have we seen the seed begging for bread, amen. God's going to take care of his people, amen. He's going to, amen. I don't care what anybody says, amen. I'm dumb enough to believe that if God can take care of his children 40 years in the wilderness, amen, and their feet never grow, their shoes never wear out, I believe God can take care of us until he comes back to get us out of here, amen. Amen. I'm not depressed because of what's going on in Washington, amen. Thank God it makes me want to buckle down, amen, swap gears a little bit, throw the coal to it, amen. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. He's a coming back, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, amen. Amen. Don't let me be the only one who gets excited, amen. I don't want to be selfish about things, amen. Amen, amen. That's exactly right, amen. I'm telling you, I'm glad I'm saved, amen. If I wasn't saved going through this mess, I'd probably worry, amen. But I'm not worried, amen. 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 What does amazing grace say? Amen. Grace has brought us safe thus far. Thank God grace will take us all the way home. Amen. Grace has brought us safe thus far. Grace is going to take us home. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. I feel like stopping and shouting. Amen. 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 I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you something, we're looking at it, the key word is suffering. The key thought is the Christian hope, amen, or the security of one's own peace, amen. I'll tell you what, we've lived into a day and hour where people just don't have peace no more. Everybody's nerves is eat up. Everybody's on some type of narcotic, amen, to be able to face life. We eat Rolaids and Maalox, amen. Amen. I'm telling you something right now, it's because we do not understand the principles of who God is. A.W. Tozer said in his book on the knowledge of the holy, on thinking correctly about God, he makes this statement. I say it 1,000 times, amen, in a lifetime, amen. A man that comes to the right belief of who God is relieved of 10,000 temporal problems. A man that just thinks God's some little low-key old God that can't take care of things, there's something the matter with him, amen. But our God is much bigger than that. We got to get our minds beyond the horizon of the flesh and who we are and what we are and what's going on in our country and look under the hills from whence cometh our help, amen. He's much bigger than we give him credit to be. Amen. I'm telling you something, most preachers ready to throw in the towel and quit. Amen. I can't say that I don't, amen, that I don't ever think that sometimes, amen. But the majority of the time in my heart, thanks be unto God, amen. I know him enough, amen, to know that he'll take care of us, amen. I've been through some fiery trials. I've been through places you wonder if you're ever going to survive, amen. Amen. But through it all, God's been good, amen. Amen, amen. I'm sorry to get excited. I know that's against the Baptist creed, amen. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. I like this, amen. Amen, this is the security of one's own peace, amen. Do you realize the peace of God in your heart? Amen, you say, well, amen, God will be kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Amen, but I thought about this, the peace of the mind, the peace of what goes on in this head. Amen. Do you know whose responsibility it is to keep the peace between the ears? It's yours and mine. I'm going somewhere with this tonight. You just bear with us if you can. Amen. Amen. The main work of a Christian lies in the right management of his heart and his mind. Now, don't you look at this now. I'm not going to go in the depths of this, but as we've laid the groundwork in the book of 1 Peter, in the first 12 verses, amen, Peter's trying to encourage them. He encourages them that the Lord is coming back. He encouraged them about the lively hope and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, an inheritance in incorruptible. He were kept by the power of God, greatly rejoicing the trial of our faith as being much more precious than gold. Verse 8, amen, whom you have not seen, you love, and though now for a season, you see him not yet believing, rejoice with joy and speakable and full of glory, amen. Now he says he's trying to encourage him. What Peter is doing is trying to get the believers. Now, the book of Peter, many of them, amen, it was just a general epistle, amen. It was addressed, amen, to Jew and Gentile, amen. And he was trying to address the believer to have a right mental perception of who God is, to where they would not be in such a mental state in the midst of the sufferings and the fiery trials that they were going through under this Roman persecution. Amen. I'm telling you why people are going to kick out in our day and hour. You may tell you why? Because they do not have an understanding of who God really is. God is nothing more than a lucky's rabbit foot to most people. Amen, amen. If you felt like your luck, amen, would be just as good without Jesus, you'd probably throw in the towel, you'd go to the honky-tonk, you'd go to the bar, amen, because you don't understand who God is, amen. 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 Boys, so think about this. Amen. The main work of a Christian lies in the right management of his heart and his mind. I want you to let me, amen, listen to me just for a little while, amen. Amen, amen. I'm telling you something, we need something from God. We need God to help us, amen. God, give us travel of mind and travel of heart. Amen, to preach what you'd have us to preach. Help us, I pray. Boys, to think about this passage of Scripture. Amen, it is to direct the heart and the mind, amen. The problem in our day and hour, why there's so many false religions. Amen. Why people think sodomy is okay. It don't matter to me. I said it. I take all full responsibility for that. Amen. It's because man's mind has been warped, amen, against the knowledge of the holy God of heaven. Amen. Amen, amen. Amen. The old timers used to sing, I want to know more about my Lord. We sing that. In most generation, that song is boring. Amen. We ought to just take it out of the songbook and get rid of it. Amen. But the old timers knew the importance of getting close to God. They knew the importance of walking with God. They knew the importance of making right choices in accordance to the Word of God. Amen. And the dictates of the Holy Spirit. Amen. They understood what it was to walk with Him and talk with Him. Amen. Living in a generation that knows the form, but they don't know God. Amen, amen. I'm just preaching what's on my heart, amen. I'm not a hard preacher, I'm a heart preacher. Amen, amen. One man said this. He said, Christianity is a doctrine according to godliness. Amen, designed to make us not only wiser, but better, amen. Do you understand that being a Christian means that you're going to be a better person? You're going to be a better citizen. You're going to be a better father. You're going to be a better daughter, a better son, a better mother, a better husband. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. There's more to it than just being a tag on our name. Amen. I tell you, it makes me sick. Some people just want to call themselves a Christian so they'll get a discount everywhere. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. And there's much more to it than that, amen. Amen, God, hallelujah, amen. Amen. And such were some of you, amen. But you're washed. You are cleansed, amen. Thank God Jesus does make a difference to make a man to be a better representative of the God of heaven, amen. Hallelujah, amen. I believe this scripture, amen. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, amen. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new, amen. Why is that? Because God is making something better out of you, amen. That's what it's all about. Amen. That's why God saved you, to make a better creature out of you, amen. That's why you listen to preaching. Amen. So you can be more like Christ, to grow in knowledge and grace and truth, to where this calculation of the brain, amen, takes into consideration everything that the Bible has to say before we make any thoughts in life. Amen. That's what the Bible teaches, bringing every thought into the subjection of Christ. Amen. Amen. Every thought. Amen. Somebody say amen to amen. 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 Every thought. Amen. That's exactly right, amen. Amen. Now you've got to bring every thought under the obedience of Christ, amen. Amen. I'm going somewheres. Amen. I want to give you some of the stuff now, amen. Let me just see what the Lord desires, amen. Our minds are so messed up, amen. Our minds, you know what we've done? We've turned our minds out to pasture. That's exactly right, amen. Now I'm going somewheres. And it's to heaven eventually. Amen. Notice what he said in verse 13 of our context. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. I want you to give us your undivided attention. Amen. Why did God say all this stuff in the first 12 verses, then come down to verse 13 and say, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Amen. He said, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to watch a few things here. I got to think about wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. And notice how he describes how we're supposed to, amen. Verse 14, there's not a period at the end of 13. Amen. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Now, most time we read that, and the only thing, amen, that talks about our former lusts, amen, is the way we used to dress. Somebody help me out now. Everybody thinks they're holy because they've learned how to dress in such a way that everybody thinks they're spiritual. Amen. Amen. Watch this. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in what? In all manner of conversation. Amen. Amen. That's much more, amen, than the way you dress. Amen. It's the way you talk. It's the way you how you do business. It's your integrity. It's your character. And I'm going to throw something else out that God just let me see sitting on the pew tonight. That conversation has to deal with the way you think about God. your conversation with God. Don't you watch this? Because it's written, be holy, for I am holy. Amen. Amen. Don't you look at this? Amen. The former lust in your what? The Bible says ignorance. Amen. Ignorance don't have anything to do with the way you dress. Ignorance don't have anything to do with, amen, how you curse and everything, amen. Ignorance has everything to do with the mind and the way a man thinks in his mind, amen. Now I'm going somewheres, amen. Amen. We know those things is wrong, amen. And we've learned how to do those things, amen. And everybody thinks everything's hunky-dory, amen. But I'm telling you something, some of the most backslidden people I know live right, dress right, carry a King James Bible, and go to a good Baptist church, amen. The problem is that they've got a problem in their mind and they're not thinking correctly about who God is. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you something. If you're not right with your brothers and sisters in Christ, you are not right with God. Praise the Lord. It don't matter to me, amen. I'll go back to Lanson, amen. Amen, amen. I knew what God put in my heart. That's why I didn't want a motel room tonight. I need to get out of here as quick as possible, amen. Amen, amen. But I'm telling you something, this thing of being a Christian, everything revolves around a cross, don't it? See, everybody worries about this relationship this way with God. They think that's all Christianity is about. But if you understand anything about real Christianity, it has everything to do with this way too, amen. Not just your relationship between God and man, but it has a relationship with every man around him, amen. Jesus said, amen, he didn't say that people are going to know you're saved because you got it on your t-shirt or because you got a tag on your car. He said, because you love one another, he said, they're going to know you're my disciples, amen. Amen, amen. One of the greatest biblical facts is people should know we're Christians because we love one another. Amen. I told your pastor that we talked. I said, I love you so much. Amen. I'm not a funny guy either. Amen. I'm a saved man. But I love that man so much, I can't even put it into words. I can't say it. I don't know how to put it there. Amen. Amen. I told him, I said, you live 2.5 hours away. But I said, I have a gun and I will travel. Amen. I love him. I can't help it. Amen. We're brothers. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Got the same mother, same daddy, same blood. Amen. Same inheritance. Amen. Going to live in the same place. Amen. Amen. You can't be right with God and then not be right with one another. Amen. It's messed up in the head. People ain't thinking right. I can't do it. I don't know how many times God's had me when I'm studying on Saturday or something like that. Amen. And everything's as dry as last year's birds and the Holy Ghost says, you know this over here? You're going to have to call and make that right. You're going to have to deal with that. You know why? Because if you put it out of your head and not do what the Holy Ghost tells you, it'll corrupt your thinking. Amen. I'm going somewhere. Amen. Amen. Let me look at this. Amen. This word wherefore, it means in view of the fact. Amen. Amen. God said, I know you're going through trials, but he exhorts them with all these different things here, and I'm not going to deal with them again. And he says, wherefore? In view of the fact that Jesus is coming, we have a lively resurrection. You're kept by the power of God. Your fiery trial, amen. Amen. It's much more precious than gold. He said, wherefore, in the view of all these facts, he said, you are to gird up the loins of your mind. What he was trying to tell them is that if you're going to survive in these trials and you're going to survive in these days and hours in these lives, amen, these days and these hours, you're going to have to start thinking correctly. Amen, amen. I'm going somewheres, amen. God has so blessed America. I'm 42 years old. And I'm telling you something right now, all I've known my whole life pretty much for the last few years is nothing but forward progression and prosperity and everything else. And most of us that knows that, amen. That's all we've been blessed to know, amen. We don't know how to deal with suffering. We don't know how to deal with an empty cupboard, amen. We don't know how to deal with unemployment lines, amen. We don't know how to deal with things like that. All we know is prosperity, amen. Amen, amen. But the same God, amen, that took care of his people years ago is the same God that's going to take care of us, amen. He's going to take care of us whether you realize it or not. Amen. One of the greatest things you can do is honor God. Amen. In view of the fact, amen. What are the facts? Number one, he teaches us in verse number one, look what he says. He said, I am Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, amen. Number one of the facts is the fact that we are just strangers here, amen. Amen, amen. You see, some people think they're going to live forever down here. But it ain't going to happen, amen. We're just pilgrims passing through. Don't drive your tent stakes too deep, amen. Jesus might blow the trump tonight, amen. And we may get out of here, amen. A stranger is one who sojourns in a strange place. The word sojourn is to dwell somewhere temporarily, one who does not consider it to be a permanent place, amen. That's what Peter's telling him. He said, gird up the loins of your mind. He said, the reason you're so defeated is because you think you're going to live here forever. And he said, I just want to remind you that we're nothing more than strangers passing through here. Amen. Amen. If you don't realize that, you'll be depressed. About like the majority of people are. Amen. Amen. I'm not being mean. I preached the other day, amen. Psalm 100, amen. And I mentioned this when Brother Rackley was there. Amen. We're to serve the Lord with what? Gladness, amen. Amen. And that word gladness there, and I mentioned this and I'm gone, amen. It means to be pleased, amen. If you're not glad you're saved and you're not serving the Lord with gladness, it means that you're not pleased with him, amen. So your smile and your character and your conduct and everything you do broadcast to this world, how pleased you are with Jesus Christ in your life, amen. Amen, amen. He pleases me, amen. I'm pleased with him, amen. God was. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, amen. Amen, amen. He said, that brings joy to me. He said, that boy brings joy to me. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's a commercial. Amen. These strangers, amen. Amen. Strong says it means a foreigner. No, Webster said one who belongs to another country, amen. The reason it bothers us so much, this is not our country. This is not our home, amen. Amen, amen. Can I just go ahead and tell you? In our country, it won't be like this, amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Boy, I like that, don't you? Amen. I'm glad we're going to a country where the sun will never set again. Amen, amen. Hallelujah, amen, amen. Glory, amen. Have you ever thought about, though, the Bible says the devil will be tormented day, but in heaven, there's no night for us. I'll tell you, I believe what God's going to do, he's going to remind the devil, he's going to remind that crowd when night rolls around, everything that they did under the covert of the darkness in their sin. You ever thought about that? Amen. Amen. That's true, and that's what the Bible teaches. I'm moving right along, amen. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. We're going somewhere, amen. Gird up the loins. If you know anything about your Bible, and I'm sure your pastor's taught you this, or you, wherever you go to church, or it is an Oriental custom. It was a gathering up around the waist of long and loose robes, which would impede one's progress or exertion, amen. Does everybody understand that? They wore the long robes. And to gird up the loins, they'd gather up the robe and pull it up under the loincloth. Amen. And gird up their loins where they're more active. They can move, they can run, they can do what they want to. Amen. I got thinking about that in their day and I told the church Wednesday night, amen. I said, most folk ain't got enough on to gird nothing up. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, amen. Man, you could preach on dressing right here. Gird up your loins, amen. You ought to have enough clothing on to gird up, amen. Somebody say amen right there. That's not hard preaching, that's hard preaching, amen. Amen, amen, amen. That's right, amen. You've got to have something to gird up, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's free of charge. I won't charge you a dime for that. Amen. I still believe the old time way. Amen. I still believe like our forefathers did. Amen. I believe in living right, talking right, spitting right. Amen. I still believe in living like God would. Be holy. Be holy. Amen. Amen. You say why? Do you mean to tell you why? Do you know why we're living in the day and hour we're living in? Do you know why you look at someone and say, man, what were they thinking? What were they doing? I'll tell you why. It's because people are not girding up the loins of their mind. Amen. And they'll let themselves do whatever they want to do because they just go with the actions of the flesh. Amen. The old timers knew what it's like to gird up the loins of their mind. Now, it amazes me, things that was wrong for a Christian to do 15 to 20 years ago, it's all right to do those things now. You know why? Because their thinking's been messed up. Amen. I'm telling you why they ain't nobody got no spiritual depth, no perception. I'm telling you why. Because they don't gird up the loins of their mind. They let their minds do whatever they want to do. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. Amen. Instead of based upon what this Bible says. Well, I don't see it like that, preacher. If I want to live like this and do this, I can do it. Amen. If I want to stay at home and worship God, I can. Amen. You can't do it and be right with God. Amen. Because God clearly gave it to us in the scriptures what we're to do. Amen. I'm trying to get you to understand tonight what Peter was trying to get across to the people here is the reason, amen, these trials are overtaking you. He said it's because you have not girded up the loins of your mind and you're letting your mind go haywire and go every which way except remembering what Jesus has done. Amen. Amen. Let me move right along. The context is to keep the mind, amen. The context of the scripture is, that, amen, it amazes me how much our Bible teaches us about our minds. Amen. All over, let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus, amen. Amen. We think, I preached the other Sunday morning. Amen. Now the passage of scripture there in Philippians, amen, where he talks about, amen, if there be any virtue, there any praise, think on these things. If there's anything that's plaguing our country, it's people just don't think anymore, amen. They don't weigh out the cause. They don't weigh out, is this right? Is this wrong? Would this please God? Will this offend somebody? Would the Lord be pleased with this? Does it line up with the Bible? People just don't think anymore about what they do, amen. They just do whatever feels good. Amen. I know what I'm talking about. That's why you got 45 different denominations in one little town, amen. It's because every man's got a church developed based upon how he thinks instead of what the Bible has to say. Amen, amen. Well, I just don't see it that way. It doesn't matter. It's what God says in his word, amen. That's the most important thing, amen. Amen. I hope I'm helping you, amen. This is not dealing with physical exertion, but it's dealing with mental exertion. It means for a man to apply his mind to something. Can I just go ahead and say something? We've lived into a generation that our generation are brain dead. Now you can get upset at me if you want, but I'm not trying to be mean. But we're living in a generation that isn't nothing but television. Nothing but internet, nothing but electronics. Amen. Everything on the computer, I'm telling people's minds, they cannot even think for themselves. Amen. Some people probably ask Siri if they should take a bath or not. Amen. You think I'm foolish. But I'm telling you something, we've lived in a generation that ought to sue their brain for non-support. Who would ever dream we'd see what we're seeing? How would we ever dream we'd see people go the wrong way like we've seen them go the wrong way? Do you want me to tell you why? Because people keep letting down things instead of girding up the loins of their mind. Now, what's the context of the scripture? How do you gird up the loins of your mind? As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Amen. What does that mean? Amen. Just like Ephesians taught us, amen. Amen. That we were, amen. We're aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. But when we got saved by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit lives in us. He's given us a Bible to teach us how that we're to live and how we're to be holy like God. Amen. People think that all there is to Christianity is to come to church, carry a King James Bible, dress right, throw in a little money in a tithe, and go, amen, home, and that's just about it. And the problem is that people just don't think about God anymore. Do you know why a man cheats on his wife? Because he's forgot about God. He does not entertain the thought of who God is. We've got churches that wouldn't know God, and I don't say this arrogantly. We got churches that wouldn't know God if he walked in the back doors and walked down the aisles. Because we've got this figment of imagination. I don't say this, and I mean what I say. Hollywood has done more to damage our thinking of the holiness of who God is more than anything I know of. Amen. I'm telling you something. It's messed us up, amen. The context is to keep the mind. It's dealing with mental exertion, amen. He said you're to gird up the loins of your mind. The media is going to play a great role in this day and hour, amen. They'll warp your mind. You don't believe that, amen. I believe the devil worked for the media. Genesis, amen. He went up to Eve, amen. Well, he was trying to change the word of God. What he was really trying to do was affect the way she thought about what God said, amen. And when he affected her mind, amen, they went and hid themselves because they was naked, sewed fig leaves together, amen. They started doing everything that they thought they should do instead of what God had said they were to do. Amen. Say, preacher, I'm sinning and get away with it. No, you can't. There's a payday someday. Amen. I promise you that. This is the putting out of the way. I want you to get this. I believe with all my heart. Is anybody in here fighting mind battles besides me? Where there's about four honest people in this building. The rest of them, the altar's open. Amen. I'm just being truthful. Is anybody fight battles in your mind? It's awful. It's awful. I mean, I wouldn't even mention to you publicly what sometimes the devil just puts in my mind. What's the use? What's the use? Amen. Just go and destroy your life. Amen. Destroy yourself. But here's something God's helping me with. I believe with all my heart, through the scriptures and through the Holy Spirit, we have the power to control the flow that goes through our mind. I've always believed this statement. You can't prevent the bird from flying over, but I tell you what you can do. You can prevent him from building the nest. And here's what happened to most people. And I'm telling you something what happened to me. When I get down to pray, it seems one of the greatest mental battles you ever have. Amen. You sit down to pray, you get down to pray, go to the throne room, and I'm telling you something, just stuff flooding through your mind backwards and forwards, up and down, things you never even thought of. And you'll get so disgusted, you get up and just go away disgusted the whole day because you feel like it has something to do with you. No, that's a battle of the mind, amen. You've got to plead the blood. You've got to plead the blood. Pray till God gives you victory over the mind, amen. Sometimes I pray, God, get this out of my head. I don't want it in there. I don't want to think like this. I don't want it in there. Amen. Pray till God lets his sun shine through in the radiant beams of his glory. Embrace your face with the warmth of his presence. Amen. You may tell you what that is. I don't see nobody around that I can punch or hit or anything. That's called spiritual warfare. It's the battle of the mind. And most people think they're a failure in life and they're a failure as a Christian because they get down and their mind goes haywire. That's spiritual warfare. You say, how do I war a good warfare? Be not overcome of evil. but overcome evil with good. One of my favorite statements that I use praying anymore. Used to, I'd get so discouraged about stuff like that. Brother Rackley, dear pastor, I'd get up and just go on and be defeated all day long. But I tell the Lord anymore, I said, Lord, I said, I'm going to wait here in your presence until I sense you and until I can pray. Amen. Amen. That old devil gets mad. Amen. That flesh gets mad. Amen. What you're saying is I'm not a bound to flesh. We're in a battle. This is warfare. I'm going to patiently wait in your presence until I know I'm in a throne room. Amen. It's a battle of the mind. That's why Peter said you better gird up the loins of your mind. I personally believe while we're living in a day and hour, people do not have the comprehension of God that our forefathers did. Is because we expose our minds to too much trash. You can get upset at me if you want to, but you know good and well I'm telling the truth. You can watch a little old show on TV, get up the next morning and try to serve God. You get in your prayer closet and you bow your knee before God, and you know what'll pop up in your mind? What you've put in it. Do you know why a preacher preaches against things? Do you know why he preaches about going places, listening to things, doing things? Do you know why? It's not because they're a mean preacher. It's because they're trying to keep down things out of your life that hinders you from being the Christian that you need to be. He's trying to keep your loins girt about with the truth of the Word of God. Our minds are filled with trash. I'm sorry. You can tell I'm old-fashioned. It's Nintendo's. That's been years ago. Amen. Amen. At least it ain't an Atari. Amen. Amen. That's broken Brother Rackley's days. Amen. 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 But I'm telling you something. All jokes aside, our minds are just pumped full, pumped full. Now I'm old fashioned. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. People don't go anywhere without some type of device feeding their mind. We get up as computer. All day long as computer. It's the phone. We go home. It's internet. It's TV. A child goes down the road. We got DVD players in the car now. Amen. Now see, they got TVs and stuff on the front of the refrigerator. Amen. Everybody's going to be obese by next year. Amen. Amen. I'm just telling you the truth. Amen. 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 I'm telling you, our minds just filtrating. The devil's saying, I've got them. I've got them. Amen. They're not girding up the loins of their mind. I'm feeding with this trash. Amen. You've got all the news media, all the news publicists. Amen. Everybody tells their opinion. Everybody tells their lies. You can't believe nothing they say. Amen. Fills your mind with it. Fills your mind with it. Therefore, your perception of who God is affected because of what we put in here. Boy, there's things in my mind I would to God. I could delete them. Preacher, why you preach like this? We wanted to shout her out. Who don't want to shout her out? But I'm telling you something right now. If we can help young folk, if we can help this generation to keep them from pumping their mind full of trash and having to live with it every, amen, born day of your life, the rest of your life. If I had a title of the message tonight, I'd kind of change the title. And I'm preaching on a short on the cleansing of the mind. Have you ever thought about that? We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. I'm telling you something. We can have our sin account cleansed, amen. But I'm telling you what Peter is telling them here. He said, you're living in days of suffering. You've got to remember the principles of the Bible. But he said, you're going to have to gird up the loins of your mind. You're going to have to clean your mind up, or you're going to be a catastrophe. You're going to be a has-been and a used-to-be if you don't gird up the loins of your mind. You can tell when somebody's fixing to fall. They'll start doing things when they were thinking they wouldn't used to do. Now I'm moving right along. This is the putting out of the way of the mind that which would impede the free action of the mind in connection to the progress of the Christian experience. Amen. Why God gave a preacher? How shall they hear without a preacher? Hearing affects the mind, which affects the heart. Amen. Amen. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, amen. And as a man thinketh, so is he, amen. The devil knows that. That's why he's filled our society with trash, with billboards, with cosmopolitan magazines in the Walmart, amen. He wants to pump our minds full of trash and make us think like trash. Peter said you need to gird up the loins of your mind. This is the ability to gather up and put out of the way that which will hinder one's forward progress. Here's what happens in our generation. We try to be some robust Christian, and we try to just go on and on and on without ever girding up the loins of our mind. And there's people get to the point, dear brother, they just can't take the battle anymore. And they give into what their mind has been feeding on for years and years and years. I don't know much, but I'm telling you, I'm sensing the deep presence of God in here tonight. And I'm telling you something right now, young folk, there's a lot of you in here tonight, you cannot fill your mind with trash and expect to stay where you need to be with God. I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm telling you something, if you're going to stay in this thing and you're going to do right by God, we're going to have to do like Peter said, you're going to have to gird up the loins of your mind. I believe that every man possesses the ability to fight what goes through his mind. Sometimes, have you ever said this to yourself? Be honest. I like honesty. I don't even feel like the Lord loves me anymore. Would anybody be honest besides a preacher? You see, what the devil's done, he's so affected our mind because the Bible says that God loves us, and the devil so affects our mind because of the trash of the world, he'll convince us that God don't even love us no more. Amen, amen. Well, he don't even care. He don't care how I live, amen. Yes, he does. You're the apple of his eye, amen. God wants us to gird up the loins of our mind. People used to fast and pray, brush arbor meetings, spend time with God. Do you ever spend any time alone with God? Just you and God, God and you. Do you know why they did that? Do you know why Jesus went apart to the mountain to pray? To cleanse his mind. And to meditate and pray. Cleanse the mind. I believe that, don't you? Makes me think about that little boy that his grandpa told him, said, son, I want you to go get a bucket. I want you to go to the spring house across the field and I want you to get us some water. And that young boy didn't think much about it. And he grabbed that old pail and went out there and he got the old ash pot that they cleaned the wood stove out, and he'd bring the water back from the spring house with that ash pot, amen, full of ashes and everything and that nastiness. And it had holes in it. And time he'd get the house of water leaked out. But he noticed every time he'd go back and get water, try to bring it back to the house, he noticed the more water he got, the cleaner the bucket got. And I'm telling you something right now, amen, you may not think much of the Word of God, you may not think much of being here tonight, but the more you get of it, amen, the more clean you become, amen. That's why we must gird up the loins of our mind, offset this process, let our minds be cleansed by the preaching of the Word of God, amen. Praise the Lord, amen. These loins, the place where the Hebrews thought generated power to reside, amen. This depicts the place of strength, amen. Everybody knows where the loins is, amen. The loins, amen, was the place of strength, amen. God said if you want to be strong in this life, you've got to gird up the loins of your mind. Nobody's ever stayed in the fight and not girded up his loins of his mind. I'm moving right along. Noah Webster said, this amazed me. Do you know what Noah Webster defined the word loins as? He called them, he said they're called also the reins. Like the reins of a horse. He said your loins, in the past, gird up the loins of your mind. What Peter is saying is, he said, the loins in your mind are the place of stronghold, the place of power. Your mind controls what you do. That's what Noah Webster said, amen. This is a metaphor of the control center, amen. I'm telling you something, we're living in a generation that's out of control. People killing one another, amen. Tattooed from one end to the other, amen. I know you can't help what you did before you got saved, amen. But I'm telling you something, the flesh says do whatever you want to. The mind, amen. Amen. That's why preaching, that's why Bible, that's why praying, that's why being around people that are holy. It affects your mind in the way you think about things. Amen, amen. A believer through the Holy Spirit and the world would produce a spirit of optimism, amen. This is looking for the best and not the worst. This is the ability only comes by the power of the Holy Spirit when one is able to exert one's will in putting out of his mind those things that would impede his free action and ability to move on, amen. What I'm trying to say tonight, and I feel like I'm losing you, is if we don't gird up the loins of our mind, we'll lose the ability to put out of our minds that which hinders us. That's why Peter said, you people are going, you're going to suffer trials and afflictions. I'm being honest with you. I would be a liar if, amen. I heard a man say the other day, and this is true. There's a guy on prophecy at his church, amen. Said he got up and said God would give him a revelation in 2011. Amen, that Donald Trump was anointed and would be the one to come and deliver the United States, amen, because he is anointed and chosen of God and deliver the United States and have his 7 years of plenty. Can I give my opinion there? Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I just put it like this. Do you know who I'm voting for? D, none of the above, amen. Amen. That's me. I take full responsibility for what I said. Amen. But that's what people's thinking. Amen. God's not going to take a man that's been married that many times, brags about how many women he's had, everything else. Amen. And God's not going to do it. He's a holy God. People's minds are warped. I take responsibility for what I said. Amen. Amen. Now watch this. This is a mind that is not crippled and frozen by fear. I'm giving you this real quickly. Five mindsets. You can have a ready mind. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. You can have a reminded mind. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 through 7. You can have a revived mind. 1 Peter 1, 14 and 16. You can have a rejoicing mind. 1 Peter 1, 8. Or you can have a relieved mind. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. The simple fact that, amen, he's coming back. Brought into you till the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can relieve your mind if we would learn to think correctly about God. Y'all still with me? Three things. It's all right to have the pianist to come. If our dear pianist could come and play something. I love piano music. It softens the atmosphere of the service. Amen. Boy, when I think about this, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. What are you talking about? Is he talking about the way you dress? And I believe dressing is very, very important. But the context of the scripture is how you're thinking. He said, as obedient children, not fasted, obedient to the word of God, the way you're thinking. Notice what verse 50, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. We should have a holy thought process. Do you know what defeats me more than anything? The way I think. I can't stand it. I hate it. That's one of my biggest defeats. Me get up and preach. Me serve God, and the knowing who I am and the way I think. Boy, there's a lot of saints in here tonight. But I'm telling you something right now. It's called girding up the loins of the mind. I'm giving you three things. You can go ahead, dear sister. How do you gird? God gave me these three things sitting on the pew the other night. Three things real quickly. The first thing, everybody knows about girding those robes. You'd have to reach down and gather that robe and pull it up. So one of the first thing is we must get a hold on what's hindering us. Do you hear what I'm saying? I guarantee you, everybody in here knows there's something that's hindering you and keeping you in your mind. It's affecting you. You may tell you, I know God enough to know how He works. You're sitting here, boy, I wish we were shouting around the aisles. But the Holy Ghost is pricking your heart about those things that's hindering you. We must get a hold of what's hindering us. When they'd reach down and grab that robe, they'd get a hold of what was hindering them. They'd pull it up where they'd be more agile to move about and be ready to do what needed to be done. Amen. Number two, not only must we get a hold of what's hindering us, we must tighten up on what's hindering us. What they'd do is they'd tuck that up under their loincloth, and that loincloth would hold it up, amen. And that loincloth had to be tight, or what was hindering them before would be hindering them once again. And so not only do we got to hold on to what's hindering us, but we've got to tighten up on what's hindering us, amen. See, here's what happens. I've been saved long enough. You'll come to the altar tonight. You'll plead to God. You'll pray that. You'll get it up. But you don't keep a tight rein on what's hindering you. And by Sunday, you'll be doing the same thing again. We must get a hold of what's hindering us. We must tighten up on what's hindering us. And number three, you're going to have to keep an eye on what's hindering us. If you ever think about that, when that man took that thing up under that loincloth and he was a battling or doing whatever he was doing, he didn't just absolutely forget about how he had girded up the loins of his mind. But he always kept an eye to make sure that that robe was still tucked up and tight in his loincloth. So he kept an eye on what was hindering him before. Have you had something hinder you? And you try to tighten up the loins of your mind, and all of a sudden, here it is again, here it is again, here it is again. Do you mean to tell you something? You can't take your eye off of what's hindering you. Sometimes you got to gather up what's hindering you. You got to get a hold of what's hindering you. You got to tighten up on what's hindering you. And don't ever forget, you need to look down every once in a while and make sure your loins are still girded with the truth of the Word of God, and your minds are girded. I believe the solution to a pure mind. I feel like I've failed you tonight. But if I could tell you one thing tonight, the reason we do what we do is because we don't understand that God is holy. Can you imagine what a difference it'd make in a service if everybody come in here tonight with the thought that God is holy? They wouldn't be unconfessed sin. They wouldn't be unforgiveness. They wouldn't be bitterness. They wouldn't be heartaches. Because there'd be such power of conviction. We'd bury ourselves in an old-fashioned altar, begging God and help us to gird up the loins of our mind. Why does the Bible teach us, if you know your brother's got aught against thee, you're to go to him? Do you know why? That is a process of girding up the loins of your mind. We're not eat continually about that fact of somebody being mad at you or something like that. You deal with it. You're girding up the loins of your mind. You're keeping your mind from being hindered, where you can come to church. Hey, guess where you're at tonight? That's what bothers me. We leave and don't even realize where we've been and what we're supposed to be doing, because our minds have not been girded about with the truth of the Word of God, the cleansing of the mind. Man, we'll wash our clothes. We'll wash our cars. Amen. Wash our hands. Germ sanitizer. But have you ever heard anybody talk about getting their mind clean? Peter said to gird up the loins of your mind. That's what we're to do.